I used to base all of my decisions off of what other people thought. Every single decision from the time I was a child until probably my late 20s, when I finally started realizing, why do I care what other people think? What am I gaining from this? And so I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. I make all my decisions based on my priorities.
Welcome to the Shift Your Day Job podcast. I'm Brittany Cates, career coach and fellow career shifter, here to help you leave unfulfilling work behind. Every Thursday, I share stories, strategies, and confidence-boosting insights to help you gain clarity, take action, and create a career you love. Let's shift your day job together. Hey guys, before we dive into today's episode, I've got something exciting to share with you. If you've been feeling stuck in your job, unsure of what's next, or wondering if a more fulfilling career is even possible for you, listen up. I've created what I call the Career Kickstart. It's a 5-day Telegram course designed to help you go from confused and frustrated to clear and confident about your next career move. Inside, you'll get daily audio messages and simple, actionable exercises to help you figure out what you really want and what kind of job aligns with your strengths and values, and how to take your next step without second-guessing yourself. And the best part? It's only $44, but not for long. If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels and start making real progress toward a career that you actually love, DM me the word kickstart on Instagram at shiftyourdayjob, and I'll send you all the details. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to the Shift Your Day Job podcast. Today, I'm joined by Marissa Redder, a former teacher turned boutique owner who knows all about following your passion and making bold career pivots. Marissa left the classroom to chase her dreams of blending creativity and business, and now she runs a thriving women's boutique in Northwest Iowa. Along the way, she's learned how to juggle working from home while raising a family, how to navigate the twists and turns of a career that wasn't feeling right, and how to lean into doing what you love, even when it goes against what you think you should do. Get ready for an inspiring conversation about chasing dreams, embracing change, and building a life you love. Join me in welcoming Marissa to the podcast. Hi, Marissa. How are you doing today?
Hi, I am doing fantastic.
I'm so excited to talk to you because this idea that you have a boutique sounds really cool. I would just love to hear how it all happened. So if you don't mind starting with your career journey, that would be amazing.
Yes, absolutely. So I was one of those people that when I was in college, I started off pre-med because overachiever. And I know people are thinking, okay, now we get really into it. Like we started pre-med and now we own a boutique. I just knew I wanted to be successful one day. And 20 years ago, that's what the epitome of success looks like. You went to college, you got the best job that you could possibly get in, you know, reality. Doctors are highly acclaimed. In my mind, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I got to college. I was a two-sport athlete. It just didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. I was sick the whole time because I was so stressed from the workload. I ended up having my tonsils out. I had 4 surgeries in the first year and a half that I was in college. So after that, I was like, okay, we need to sit down and actually figure out what our life is going to look like. Because I took a few business classes. I started working at an after-school program and I was great at it. After my first year of working, I ran the after-school program. So I'm 19 years old. I am in charge of 6 adults and 90 kids every day after school. And I'm like, well, maybe I should just become a teacher. So that's what I did. And I loved it for a really long time. But teaching is not the career that it used to be. I always dreamed of more, not in a bad way, but teaching isn't fulfilling. It was just, I always had this passion for being in control of my own destiny. And I wanted to be able to make growth happen. I didn't want to just become an instructional coach, a principal, possibly a superintendent. My family farms, I'm stuck where I'm at in the best way possible. We're a large farm operation. We're not up and moving. This is what I signed up for when we got married and had kids. So progressing in a teaching career wasn't really an option for me. as time went on, I was like, I'm going to start selling my teaching resources online. There's a great website called Teachers Pay Teachers. Teachers are literally making millions of dollars a year selling courses and things they've designed and are selling to other teachers to use. It's like, oh, I can do that. One weekend, a friend of mine actually mentioned it to me. She said, I think you'd be great at this. The following weekend, I bought a website domain and started creating teaching resources online. Dove head first right in. And it's always a little chaotic, a little messy, but it's been working out for me. So I just keep doing it. I did that for a few years while I was still in the classroom, found my niche inside of that, really helping teachers fight burnout and overcome that and different things. And the pandemic hit. I left the classroom because our district has a board policy that they can dictate whether you work for them and someone else, or if you just work for them. They get to decide your secondary employment. I was speaking out a lot about teacher mental health and going back into the classroom. It was not political. I had taught kindergarten. If I have to wipe down every marker in between every kid using it, we cannot be putting more on teachers. They're already overloaded. What can we do to make this as easy of a transition back into the classroom as possible? Iowa barely shut down for the pandemic. It was just, okay, the janitor is going to do some extra sanitizing. I was working with teachers all across the world. I had teachers in Egypt that I was working with, California, Virginia, places where this was very different situation. And our district didn't like that I wanted to help these teachers do that. And they handed me the board policy and said I could choose. I could work for them or I could run my business. And I do not think they were expecting the answer that they got in that meeting. I said, it's 3 weeks before school starts and you're going to let me out of my contract without penalty. I'm not going to lose my teaching license over this or anything. And they said, let us talk to our lawyers. I never did hear back from them. I just found out the following week at the board meeting that they had hired a new kindergarten teacher in the board packet. I am now on the school board, everybody of our district, just FYI.
I love it.
So that was how I left teaching to go all in on me. But what I soon realized was that I was trying to help teachers not burn out in a situation that I had never been in. I pride myself on my integrity, and I just did not feel comfortable doing that. So I ended up, as soon as I left the classroom, having a 6-month panic attack of where do I go from here and what do I do? Because I didn't want to be making resources for teachers when I wasn't in the classroom anymore. I know there are plenty of teachers who do and keep up on it, but I was just not in a good place with how my career ended. So I was like, who else needs these skills? Entrepreneurs do. Women who started businesses during the pandemic at their kitchen table as a hobby and now are realizing that they could make a real go at this. This could be their future. I worked a lot as a life coach with them, balancing work and life and how to raise a family at that same kitchen table as your business. They started asking me business questions. How do I do this? What do I do? I said, I don't own a product-based business. I don't really know. So I told my husband in October of 2022, I said, I think we should start a product-based business. Give it a try. See how this goes. So I actually have some firsthand knowledge of how to help these women. Like a side hustle. In our first full calendar years from January to January, we did 6 figures in our handmade women's boutique. And so that was when I realized what I was meant to be doing. I actually don't even do coaching anymore because I don't have time for it. We now have employees that work for us. In 2 years, that's how much progress we have made in the business. People go, how'd you do that so fast? How did your business grow so quickly? It seems like it happened overnight. The foundation started being laid in those business classes that I took in college that then contributed into learning how to run an online business. So now my boutique is online and we pop up at different places 7 or 8 times a year. It's this healthy mix of all the things I've ever wanted to do, which was to own my own store of some sort. I wanted it to be a scrapbooking store, by the way. That was the era I was in college when those were starting to pop up. And I was like, that would be amazing. That sounds like a dream come true. Creativity, fun, owning your own business. So yeah, that's how this all came to be.
That's amazing. I love that you went through each stage because it was like clues all along the way,
yes.
Right? You have to get to a point where you accumulate all of those clues into whatever you're doing. It's interesting to me how like in our history books or when we look at celebrities, it's always, wow, I can't believe they did that, or they're an overnight success. And it's like, you don't really know the background of what they did to get where they are today. We don't celebrate that progress enough, I think, in this society. We think it's like one and done, right? Oh, I see what you're doing right now. And that's amazing. And we
discount all those other
things, but we're comparing ourselves to that ideal progress that they've made along the way to get.
Yes. Even further back in my story, my dad owns his own business. I grew up watching him grow this business with zero collateral, money from his own pocket, bootstrapped it himself. When I entered college was the first time that he could have probably actually left his job. He started it in 1997. I was 7 or 8 years old. I watched him build this business literally from the ground up. He still works his full-time job. He was not going to take that risk. I watched him play it safe all along. And his business is great. It provides a lot for our family. But I always wonder, what if he had gone all in and bet on himself? When that opportunity presented itself to me in my superintendent's office that day, I knew exactly what my answer was going to be. I'm betting on myself. I'm going all in. There was no question at all. I got in the car, tears in my eyes, called my husband and said, I think I just quit my job. He goes, you think? He was like, I thought you were meeting with them. I was like, I know. I thought I was helping develop a plan of how we were going to go back to school and be considerate of teachers' mental health.
And that's another thing I wanted to go back to is this conviction that you had in that moment. You have to choose this or that. I love that you shared that you had this example growing up. We all see our parents do things and decide, I'm not going to do that. And the fact that was a big influence for you in that moment was amazing. But is there anything else that might have resonated that? How do you get to that point where you're just like, nope, this is it. This is what I value. This is my boundary or whatever.
So what's really funny is when I was doing the life coaching, I had just started to develop when I made that decision. I was only going to stay in the classroom probably one more year anyway. That was the plan for my husband and I. Eventually, I was going to leave the classroom and run my business full time. But we wanted to be in a better position. We had just built a brand new house. My husband is self-employed, so we were not only losing my job, but I was losing our health insurance as well. My retirement fund, everything was, that's because my husband doesn't have a retirement fund through the family farm. Like, they don't have a 401k to fall back on someday. Like, it's all up to us. And so it was just one of those things where, like, okay, what do I do? But in my head, I had been telling myself since May, that was the hardest year of teaching I'd ever had, the least amount of support I'd ever received with the most difficult class. And in May, I'd been telling myself, I'm not going back. There's no way I can go back. And I just kept waiting for something to present itself so that I could leave the classroom and not have to go back. And it didn't happen. So I finally came to terms in late July, like, this is happening. Give it one more year. You're just going to go all in on the business. Your family may not see you all year while you build this thing, but this is how it's going to have to be. You've got 1 year to get this done. I'd gone in with that mentality. When the opportunity presented itself, my brain just went, this is it. This is your out. And it just flew out of my mouth. I'm done. I'm so sorry. Have a good year. Walked out of the office.
Yeah. That's amazing to reflect on because I have a similar experience of holding on to your current job while preparing for what's next.
Yeah.
I was an elementary school teacher as well. I taught online. And then the next year during the pandemic, we were supposed to go back into the classroom. I volunteered to be the online teacher because I was like, no, thank you. During that year of teaching is when I started figuring out what my next move was going to be. But by the end of that school year, I still had my contract with the district. And so I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do when the new school year starts. And I went to the first day of onboarding for the next school year. I sat there and I was like, why am I even here? This is ridiculous. I went in the next day and I put in my resignation. But I had to actually go and experience it and be like, yeah, no, this isn't for, whereas for you, you're like, I'm ready, you know. It's just interesting how everybody has a different experience with that? You seem like a very much an action taker and jump in right away and just see how it goes. For me, I've discovered that I have to feel it out a little bit, then self-reflect and be like, how do I actually feel this right now? And then make a decision from there.
One of the things that I learned from one of my coworkers, my kindergarten partner teacher, we only have a few sections at our school, we're fairly small. And she said, the first few years, I used to think that you just flew by the seat of your pants all day long.
But the more that I've taught with you, I realized that you are actually the exact opposite. You are so meticulously planned out in your brain so far in advance that when something hits the fan, you just move on to the next thing. You already know exactly what your options are. If this happens, what you're going to do. And that's just how my brain works.
For a lot of people looking in, it looks like chaos. And like, I am just flying by the seat of my pants all the time. Sometimes I am, I won't lie. But a lot of times I don't even realize that my brain has most of these things already planned out. That's just how my ADHD brain is wired. And there's just so much happening. I don't know what is going on sometimes.
Yeah. And I think that comes back down to being introspective and understanding yourself more and more as time goes on and the different experiences you have in your different careers or stages.
One of the things that I started to really value when I was working with other teachers and entrepreneurs was what I call a VIP method. I think a lot of our decisions in life need to be based on what are your values, what intentions can you set, and then figuring out what your priorities are in life. And so by that point, I had not picked up the intention piece yet of it, but I knew exactly what my boundary or what my values were. And then that was how I formed those boundaries. So that day in that office, when it presented itself, I knew, I have them written here, right here on the whiteboard in front of me, that my values are grace, empowerment, generosity, inspiration, and hope. Those are my five main things that I want to leave this world and people to be like, that's a word that actually does describe her. When those things started to become questioned in the situation that I was in, I knew this is exactly the time that I need to leave to do that. I also knew what my priorities were in life. For a long time, they were not correct. Once we started having kids, other people's kids were still my priority over my own because I felt like I had to do that to be an effective teacher. That was one of the other decisions that led me to leave. And I know it sounds like, wow, everything just really worked out for her. She walked into that office, she got exactly what she wanted and she left. And now look at, she's got a thriving business. But you have to remember, I left in 2020 from teaching. It is now 2024. So it has been 4 years. I'm going to tell you those first 2.5 years were so uncertain for us. We are still digging ourselves out of the hole that we got put into by not having financial income from me, not having insurance. Like, we had insurance, but now we were paying for private insurance. We got ourselves in a hole that even my thriving business hasn't been able to get us out of. It's going to take years for us to become stable and have that retirement fund again. I had to cash that all out when I left. Because that was the only way we were going to survive. We had just built a brand new house and we're not expecting me to go without an income. We built our dream house because we thought I was going to have an income.
Yeah.
And so to go 2.5 years actually going into debt, trying to build a business, that was rough. That was hard for all of us. That was hard for our parents to watch us do and for my husband to understand. You just have to trust my process. Like, I can't explain it to you, but you just have to. And it took a while for him to understand that. And now we look back and he can't even imagine if we hadn't made all of those choices that we did.
Yeah. Going back to what you said about if you wonder what your dad's life would have been like if he had bet on himself, right?
Yes.
And so it's you betting that you're going to figure it out and that whatever process you have to go through, it's going to be worth it on the other side. And that takes a lot of courage to step into the unknown. And I think one of the big takeaways I'm getting from your experience is the fact that you and your husband really worked together. Can you talk a little bit about that relationship and that support along?
Like I said, he is a farmer, and that is one of the most uncertain employment opportunities you could have. We never know what's going to happen. Is a sickness going to come through and wipe out our entire cattle herd? We also have hogs. Is it going to take out our entire gestation buildings? What are the crops going to be like? Are we going to get rain, not get rain? That is something we have had to learn from the beginning of our relationship. There are so many uncertain things, but you have to have faith and you have to keep showing up and doing the work. It's going to work out perfectly, because if you don't do it at all, then you don't have it. You have nothing. And so we started looking at the business as the same way. It's like this giant puzzle that has been culminating. We've been picking up the pieces since I was 7 or maybe even before, who knows? But that's my first vivid memories of being, I want to do this someday. I want to own my own business. Now we know we're doing the exact right thing. My husband leaves the combine in the fall. He's our combine out of the 5 partners at our farm, all family members. He leaves it in the fall to do shows with me because he believes that much in what we're doing as a family. It's not just a business. We have a mission and give back to different organizations all year long. It's something with a bigger purpose than just our family and being a business we own and operate. We want to leave a legacy behind. We have 3 girls. They're 5, 7, and 9. They love what we do and they understand it. They work on the farm. Will they work for me? Who knows? Will they take over either business? We don't have any idea. But at least that foundation is being set for them. They know that if we keep working together and being open and honest, we've openly talked about the process with our kids. They understand. They get to do the things they do now because I put in the time that I do. We're finally to a point where I work normal hours. My kids get off the bus and I can hang out with them now. And they're, Mom, what is this? You actually can interact with me right now? Yes, yes, I can. Let's read a book. Let's do your homework.
That's awesome. It took a process to get there, but now you have that work-life balance you were always wanting.
They know that when the fall season hits, we have 3 shows in September. So we're gone 3 weekends in September. We're gone for 2 weekends in October, and we're gone for 2 weekends in November. And that they are going to get to spend time with either my parents or other close family friends that will come in and love them like they're their own. My middle one definitely struggles more than the other two with it. By the end of show season, she is ready for us to be home. One of the things that I implemented this year was that after each show, we do 3 weekends in a row, and then we have a couple weekend break, and then we do 2 weekends in a row, and then we have a few weekend breaks, and then we do 2 more. So after each one of those busy seasons, I take intentional time with the girls and we do something. Like, we've done home spa day. We've done a candle pouring kit, a do-it-yourself candle pouring kit. We've made cutout cookies for Halloween and frosted them. And we make sure that they're internalizing the fact that Mommy knows this is a busy time and that you miss us and we miss you. But how lucky are you that you have people that come in and are willing to love you when we're gone? You don't have to come with us and sit at a show all day, because we have that support system. And how cool is that, that you have grandparents that are willing to hang out with you? We always try to frame it in the most positive way that we possibly can, but not discounting the fact that it is hard and it's hard on them.
I think the key word there is being intentional, right? You're aware of the changes in your schedule. You have your values and priorities, right?
Yeah.
Being intentional about how you spend your time and allocating that time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they definitely appreciate it. I can always tell when it's time to reset as a family, figure it out. Like, what are we all feeling right now? What would make you feel better about this? Even if it is just a short-term fix. How are we going to get through this?
And that's great that they can feel that prioritization and that you really want to take care of them because you love them so much. A couple things that I'm thinking of as you're talking is, you've said a few times, yeah, we had this plan to go to school and I thought it was going to look like this, but it didn't really look that way. Or I thought I was going to teach for another year, but that's not really how it worked out. And the saying, the best laid plans, right? Or God laughs. Can you tell me how you navigated through that? The fact that things just don't ever go as planned, and how you have managed that experience personally.
Yes, we are in the Bible Belt. My husband and I have a pretty strong faith, and that's been the guide for us. And just knowing that I'm not in control of any of this. Being able to give up that control and just say, like, all I can do every day is show up and do my best and take the next step, give it my all and never quit and just never give up. There were months there where it was like, okay, I just have to take a full step back and reevaluate the direction that we're going. One of the things that I found when I was doing the life coaching, there was an awful lot of pressure on making millions of dollars, selling a course, making a membership for people. everybody can do this if they really wanted. I actually got to a point where I was questioning if I was even supposed to be a mom. Is the lifestyle I chose even, because it was so intriguing to me. I wanted to be able to travel and I wanted to just be able to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And I did not have any of that freedom like I thought I was supposed to have when I was an online entrepreneur. And so there was a year or year and a half there where I was questioning basically every life choice that I had ever made. Was I even meant to be married and have children? Or am I too selfish for that almost? I had all these really big dreams and it just seemed like the life that I was living with my family didn't really fit into those. And so I just really leaned into, okay, this can't be how it is. And that was really when I started focusing, like getting back to, I had lost that. I was teaching other people how to have values and priorities, but mine were getting muddled and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted that to look like. So I had to take a step back and started relaying. I'm not in control of this plan. I have very little control in anything I'm doing. So how am I going to survive that? What does that look like? One of the things that came up was like, I developed an app. I spent an obscene amount of money on a self-care app. It never functioned exactly how I wanted it to. The people that built it backed out on me before it was completely finished. They no longer would service it for me. So it was just stuck in limbo. I couldn't put it out into the world knowing that it wasn't what I wanted. We joke about that's how we knew Trent and I had real trust, because he let me blow $30,000 on an app that I never actually put out into market.
Yeah.
So when I tell you, like, we struggled, it wasn't just a couple $100s on a credit card every month to get by. The amount of debt we are paying off right now is in the hundreds of thousands on mistakes I made developing this business. And what I had to come up to the conclusion was, is that they were not mistakes. They were all those stepping stones, learning pieces. I learned how to take on the tech industry and say, no, this is, I don't care what you think it should do or you want to do it because this is easier. This is what I want done. Like, I was able to actually understand pieces of myself and my leadership ability that I never would have had I not had that experience. And so I have to just look at it like, these are not mistakes. They've all been learning pieces. And that is why I'm successful the way I am now. And yeah, I'm going to have to live with those choices for years, but we're going to dig ourselves out of it. When plans didn't go the way they were meant to go, I had to step back and think, okay, what options do I have now? If this is no longer an option, or doing the same thing over and over again isn't working, how can I change it? What does that look like? What's the next step forward? I don't have to have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan or any of that. Just what step am I taking to make just the slightest amount of progress?
Thank you so much for sharing that. And also the reminder that we get to reframe our experiences in a way that can serve us in the long run. You talk about all this debt that you're still paying off, and yet there's that trust within yourself that it's going to happen, right? Like, you're going to be able to pay that off. It was just part of the process you had to go through to learn more about yourself, what you're capable of, and to get you to this point of success in your business. And as you continue to move forward, that whatever seeming mistakes you made in that process, you're going to remedy them along the way, no matter how many years it might take. Because
yes,
you have this newfound trust in yourself and what you can do and what you're capable of.
Yes. And I think that's part of it, because I still am not formally diagnosed, but I think growing up, I've probably had ADHD my entire life. Like, it just fits. And I'll tell friends of mine, like, I'm pretty sure. And they're like, oh, you didn't know? I assumed you knew. Thanks for helping me out with that one. For me, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. That's part of the process that has gotten me to where I am. If it's out of sight, I'm not thinking about it. I learn from these mistakes and have all these experiences, but it's a lot easier for me to just dive into doing the next thing, because I'm like, okay, I learned A, B, C, and Z the last time I took a risk. And so this time I'm going to prevent those. I'm not afraid, because those mistakes aren't like at the forefront. They're not mistakes. Yeah. I've been able to do the mind training that they are really just stepping stones. And that's something I wish I had known earlier, because I was labeled as, if it didn't come naturally to me, I didn't really want to do it. Sports were that way. I still won't golf. My husband does not understand it. I'm like, no, I want to be good the second I started, or I don't want to put the time into it. I have very specific bandwidth of what I can handle and what I can't. And if it's A, not going to make me money, B, it's not going to bring me joy, I'm not going to put the time into it. Growing up, I almost had this mindset that I was lazy, that I couldn't stick with anything because I was hopping from hobby to hobby, trying to figure out what I was meant to do. And so even into my adult life, kind of felt like that. Oh, I was pre-med, and then I went into business, then I went into teaching, and then I came back to business. When I look back at it, it seems almost disconnected or very ADHD. But in the long run, it was this plan that was laid out long before. I wouldn't have this success now that I do if I hadn't had that life experience. But it did take a lot of inner work to understand that I'm not lazy. I know what to prioritize. It doesn't do me any good to be good at golf if I don't even enjoy it. Why would I put in the time for that when I could be learning something else, growing my business or spending time with my kids? When you're an entrepreneur, you have to dive deep and figure out who you are. What are your limiting beliefs? How are you going to overcome them? And it would have been really easy for me to just become a stay-at-home mom. After the first thing didn't work, be like, sorry, honey, we're going to have to downsize and figure it out because I'm done. But just that inner work you have to do. It's not just the physical work of learning the skills, like how to build a website or upload things to YouTube or edit videos or product photography or all the things you learn in those first few years of business. It's the inner work. And that's where I was lucky enough that I had started that inner work when I was in the classroom and burning out 7 years into my career. By the time I'd done some of those heavy lifting pieces that most entrepreneurs don't start until they're 5 or 6 years into their business. I did it. I front loaded it and got that out of the way first, which makes it look like an overnight success type story because that's the most important work.
Yeah, I love that. As you talk, I reflect on my experiences as well. When I was teaching and it was so stressful for me, I started going to yoga regularly because I needed something to bring me out of my head and into my body. Those were my first introduction to a lot of the personal development work that I started doing. And so I hadn't actually thought about that before as being, I started that a long time. And that's really influenced the way that I show up now in my new entrepreneurial.
Yeah, it's really amazing to think like it's a very tiny puzzle we're putting together, a couple hundred thousand pieces at this point. All of those little pieces, those limiting beliefs that you grow up with, this is how life should look, or this is what it looks like to grow a business, or this is how one person did it, and this is your experience. So then you'd assume this is what it should look like for you, or you've always been told like that you give up or that you're this or that you're that. For me, growing up, if my mom told me not to do something, I probably did it 3 times just to make sure. I just had that little rebellion. I've had to figure out how those deficiencies in my personality, like how do I use those as my strong suits? What does that actually look like? So somebody told me I couldn't do this, or they call it my craft and hobby business because everything we do is handmade. But we're running an industrial size laser. We have industrial size heat presses for our shirts. Everything is on a very high level. It's not like I'm sitting over here at my kitchen table putting together arts and crafts. But we used to have one specific friend that loves to get under my skin. He's like, how's that arts and crafts business going? He's a huge entrepreneur himself. He owns his own business, very successful. That's just him. It's one of those things where I've had to let those like limiting beliefs that I am just arts and crafting my way to $1 million business. I'm in Facebook groups where they're like, I just did a market and I didn't even make back my booth fee. I'm so grateful that I took the time. I used to do a couple of markets with a friend of mine who was growing a candle business that I was helping coach. I would go and show up to events with her. I learned exactly what events to show up to by doing that. I was building this foundation very early so that when I made the decision to start this business, I literally hit the ground running. I already knew what the coveted junk stock, which is $40,000, but 40,000 people show up. So you're going to make a decent amount of dollars at it kind of show. And I've heard friends that have tried to get in for years. We applied one time. It just so happened to be the right time. They were clearing out vendors that didn't fit their goals for their event anymore. And they started brand new. And we just happened to be one of the applications that she actually looked at. She admits that she didn't even look at 1,000 applications that year. That's how many she got. And we just happened to be one of them. She liked our stuff. She let us in. And that gave me the confidence. We were only in business 3 months when we got into that show. That gave me the confidence to keep going. It's not just being like, wow, we got lucky. It's taking that and knowing I can move forward now because that was the push I needed. So actually paying attention to those positive things, totally random, ADHD kicking in here. Husband and I started a gratitude journal one night. We were like, 30 days, let's do it. We can name 10 things every night that we're grateful for. The first night was like, yeah, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for our kids. Look at this house we live in. So grateful for the farm. Like all these things, super easy. By the third night, we were like, I'm out of things. But we trained ourselves to pay attention to that person that held the door for us at the grocery store that day. Something that our child said to us that made us smile or laugh became on the list that next day. And our brain had to remember all of those little things all day long. And that 30 days that we spent doing that has completely changed how our brains are wired. I'm convinced of it. Because now when we look at situations like that, we can say, look at the positivity in this. We just go all in and know that there's going to be some sort of positive something that has come out of the experience. It's totally mindset work. That's what I contribute our success to.
Thank you for tool that you use. And yeah, it did change your brain because I've had a guest on my show that talks about how the more you change your thought pattern or the more that you switch from that negative thought to that positive thought, you're building like a groove in your brain or something like that. And anyway, it's fascinating. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, it's amazing to me, like the little tiny synapses. If I could go back and actually had the patience for it, I would love to study the brain. I think it's just so fascinating.
Yes.
I was pre-med once, so for an entire semester.
I was watching this show the other day, and one of the characters was like, I was almost a doctor.
I know what I'm talking about.
And another thing I wanted to bring up is just this idea of letting go of other people's expectations of you and really getting back to yourself and what do you expect of yourself. And I loved your example of golfing, not my thing. Why would I spend time doing that? Or when someone's giving you a hard time about the decision that you're making, do I even care what you think? Because I know what I'm doing and how I want to live my life. It doesn't really matter what you think. I get to choose how I use my time and energy. If someone thinks you should be golfing because your husband goes golfing, you should do that together. It's no, maybe for you, that's what you want to use your bandwidth for. But I have different priorities and my husband and I will spend time together doing something different than that.
Setting up for markets.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just think it's interesting. The other piece you were saying was early on in your entrepreneurial journey, looking at what everybody else was doing online and then second guessing like what you were doing in your life. And it's just such a big thing that comes up for all of us now with so much social media in our lives that a lot of times we can get confused. And it's really our responsibility to be accountable for ourselves and our decisions and take that step back to reflect on, okay, remove all the noise. And what do I want for myself and my life? And what do I see as being successful? And using that as your template as you move forward and make decisions.
That was one of the hardest things for me. Growing up, I grew up in a really small town. My grandpa owned the funeral home before he passed away, which he passed away before I was even born. But they thought my dad's success and what my parents had come from inheriting money from my grandpa. But little did anyone know, my dad actually got a bill from my grandma after my grandpa died for any tires they'd put on his car while he was in college. Anytime they'd filled up his gas, my grandma had kept track of that. And so when my grandpa died, she divvied out bills to all four kids for what they actually owed her. So I grew up in a town of 500 people that thought my parents' success had come from inheriting it. And it hadn't. Like I said, I was a little bit of a rebellion. I wanted to become a doctor and make a bunch of money. I was going to come back, wipe out an entire block in town and put up my mansion right there and say, now talk about me. That just tells you I'm a little competitive. Don't tell me I can't do something because I will do it regardless of what you think. I used to base all of my decisions off of what other people thought. Every single decision from the time I was a child until probably my late 20s, when I finally started realizing, why do I care what other people think? What am I gaining from this? I do think there is some sort of social norm where you should show up and function in society in a way that is overall approving. But I live on a farm about 15 miles outside of any nearest town. And I love my little bubble that I live in, out of sight, out of mind. I forget that other people even exist in town. People come to me and be like, guess what I heard? And I'm like, what? And they'll tell me some story they heard about me somewhere in town. And I'm like, people actually have time to talk about other people? Like, I didn't even, because I don't have that habit anymore. So I just assume no one else has that habit anymore either. So I tricked my brain into thinking that no one else has time for that. And so I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. I make all my decisions based on my priorities. And I don't know if you've heard of Shailene Johnson. She was the plyo woman from Beachbody way long ago. Now they teach people how to use Instagram and social media. Random, but he has this piece of paper laminated in his pocket with his priority people on it. And it's his wife, his sister, his mom, and his dad. And he, every decision he makes is based on, will it benefit any of these people? Will it hurt any of these people? That's how he runs all of his decisions, by his priority people. And so that really was a perspective change for me too, was who are my priority people? Who would be on my little pocket paper that I would carry around? If they're not on it, I really don't care anymore. At the end of the day, am I raising kids who are kind and compassionate and encouraging? Then all that matters to me.
Yeah. I love that example, because I've heard of it as, who are the top five people you're listening to?
Yes. You become who you surround yourself with.
And if I make this decision, who is it going to affect? And who are the top people in my life that I care the most about? And I like that perspective. As we wrap up, can you share with our audience more about your boutique, what you do, and sort of maybe see or buy things? I imagine you do things online as well.
It's called The Inspiration Haven. Trent and I lost our first baby. We had named him or her Haven. We just thought there was something about that name we were drawn to. We wanted to put a name to the lack of a face we had for our baby. So what would we do to honor them? We thought, how perfect, The Inspiration Haven. We are a women's boutique that pretty much everything in it is handmade. All the shirts are pressed by us. We just brought in a graphic designer. So we've got a whole bunch of new designs coming, which is awesome to have her in-house now. We create tumblers, different things like that, like iced coffee glasses. Everything has just that inspirational flair to it. We want you to purchase each thing with the intention of, you're going to go out in your day and you're going to be just a little bit better because of whatever product you are using in your day. So we have self-care cards. We have decks of affirmations, prayer cards. Also, the ridiculous amount of products we offer is just, it's absolutely silly. It looks like we buy all of our products, so I promise they're all designed or made by us. It's just theinspirationhaven.com. It's quite special to us. We love to share it. So we would love for you to stop by, check it out, follow us on Instagram. It's just at The Inspiration Haven. That's where I hang out because I'm a millennial.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. And it's been a pleasure chatting with you. And I'm looking forward to checking out your stuff. So
thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to the Shift Your Day Job podcast. If you've loved this episode, leave a review. It helps more women find the show. Feeling stuck in your career? Let's connect. Follow me on social media at ShiftYourDayJob or email me at ShiftYourDayJob@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Brittany Cates. Let's shift your day job together.